joining us now, we have Lieutenant General Ronald Place, or Ron, which is my dad's name. It's a good name. He is the director of the Defense Health Agency, an organization that some of you are very familiar with and some of you have never heard of before. Lieutenant General, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Yeah, good. It's great to talk with you. Thanks for having me.
Very good. So one thing, I'm sure we have two audiences listening to us right now. One, military people who will very well understand who you are and what you do, and then civilians who are probably curious. Let's start with them for just a second. The Defense Health Agency is different from the VA, the Veterans Administration. What is the key thing that distinguishes what you two do when it comes to healthcare?
Sure. The Veterans Administration and their hospital system manages care for all veterans with service-connected medical issues. The Department of Defense medical system, so I'm the director of the Defense Health Agency, we take care of active duty family members, and those who have a retirement from the Department of Defense. And in so doing, we have our own hospitals and clinics, and we manage the TRICARE health systems, they've heard of TRICARE, in support of all of those potential and actual beneficiaries.
So you take care of all the people that are active duty, you take care of their families, you also take care of people who are retired after 20 years and their families, but veterans in between there, that would be the VA. And I know the VA would
generally,
also cover some of your folks when they're retired as well, but do I roughly have it?
Yes, generally speaking, you have a very good understanding of the differences.
Outstanding. And so you're in town, you were at NAS Pensacola today, you were at the Naval Hospital today. You're here implementing a pretty significant change in how healthcare is delivered to our military members and retirees. What is it you're doing here in town?
Well, from a policy perspective, we can think of all kinds of great things in the Washington, D.C. area. But the most important things to me are we adequately serving the service members, in this particular location, the sailors, airmen, Marines, and an occasional soldier? Are we serving their leaders, so their commanding officers at all kinds of different ranks? So that's why we spent the morning at the Naval Air Station. And then, as we develop policies, process, funding streams, priorities, etc., is it doing what's necessary to support the medical team as they continue to provide healthcare inside of our clinics, our hospitals, and our medical centers? In order to do that, we have to go to the most important location. And while today it's Pensacola, it's every single installation, it's every single clinic, it's every single hospital, et cetera.
So it sounds like you're in the middle of what I would call a listening tour. Is that a kind of a fair way to describe it?
Part of it, sure. And part of it also is, as we're implementing unique procedural instructions, orders, guidance, et cetera, for COVID, are those standard operating procedures, are they working for them or not? So some of it's listening and some of it's feedback on the processes or the orders that we've already given.
Now this is going to sound like a squirrely question, but I think you'll understand why I ask it. When you're taking input from the military service members and the retirees, I hope you're also you're asking this kind of question, which is, what's bugging you that I am not even thinking to ask you about? Like, what are your, aside from all the things I'm here to try to implement and explain and shepherd, what else could we do better? Are you asking those kind of questions too?
Absolutely right. And the reason for that is the things that are getting in their way are the things that I'm interested in trying to fix. So every location I go to, I ask that question, or another variation of it is, what can I do to help you?
Well, the shift that you are in the middle of was kind of a long time coming, but it was produced in the NDAA, I think it was last year, and this is what I think civilians would consider a consolidation, trying to bring the disparate medical facilities of the Air Force, Navy, and Army, and of course Navy serves the Marines, instead of having them be separate, bringing them all under one agency with a variety of benefits. That's part of what you're doing, right?
That's right. So I like to think of it a significant merger with the idea that rather than a takeover of one company of another company, multiple companies coming together in a merger and then utilizing the best practices of all of the different organizations and then standardizing against that to get the best clinical outcomes to our beneficiaries within our hospitals and our clinics, et cetera, as well as then provide continuous process improvement in safety, continuous process improvement in the quality of care that we give across the entire system, and doing it in such a way that it makes sense for our beneficiaries, so that when our family members or when our service members come into our organization, it's standardized across the system. It makes sense to them. They recognize it. They're familiar with it. And it helps them be better partners in their treatment plans because it just makes sense to them.
So the way I understand this transition is, for example, TRICARE, which is medical health, specialty, prescriptions, dental, all of that. Previously, if I'm, say, I'm a Navy wife, okay, or I'm an Air Force husband, I'm going to come to the Navy facilities for all of that. Or if I'm in the Air Force, I'm going to come to the Air Force facilities. And what you're doing is you're bringing all of those together, streamlining, coordinating, standardizing, best practicing, all of that, so that eventually I'm just going to come to the Defense Health Agency or the Military Health Services. And that's kind of the goal, right?
It is the goal. And such that the quality of care is improved and the feelings that you have about the system, because you understand it, ultimately you get better care, the quality of your care is improved, the safety of your care is improved because of that particular methodology.
Now, obviously, I'm not a military person, I'm a civilian, but I would suspect, you tell me if I'm wrong, that the person who figures out how to navigate the Pensacola Navy healthcare system might then get orders and go to San Diego and discover that, lo and behold, it's different. And it would seem to me like part of your goal would be so that not just Navy installation to Navy installation, but obviously Air Force to Army to Navy installations across the board, when you show up on order somewhere, you're showing up at something that is familiar, like going to a McDonald's all over the world, instead of going to everybody does it their own little way. Is that kind of the idea?
It sounds like you're on my team. You said it perfectly.
Well, I did a little research and I watched the video and I got good prep from your aide. So I feel like that's, I just want to make sure people understand it because it helped me to understand it. So it seems like a great thing. Have you been getting resistance?
Not resistance, I wouldn't say. I'd say it this way. Remember that healthcare is an incredibly personal and emotional thing.
Yeah.
And as challenges happened at any of the 450 or so hospitals, medical centers, or clinics, somebody put extraordinary effort, blood, sweat, tears, into fixing that problem. And that's how we got away from standardization, because of people solving local problems. But we didn't ever implement those solutions across the entirety of the military health system. So the resistance isn't that, hey, man, that's a dumb idea. The resistance is, well, what do you mean you're going to change from the way that I fixed it? So the challenge that we have is working through the process of finding those best practices. And even if the one best practice doesn't include everything, then how do we get the other small changes or small improvements to the methodology that we ultimately choose, such that everyone is willing to implement it across the entire system?
That's
hard to do.
I can imagine, and I can hear. Yeah, I mean, I love the empathy that I think I hear in you in understanding that the degree to which things are different in Pensacola, San Diego, or Norfolk are probably the result not of bad ideas, but of good, specifically tailored ideas to these environments. The challenge, of course, is what that creates overall as a systemic thing. And, I mean, it seems like, you know, military people would kind of understand this, I guess, because, you know, there's a certain way to dress, there's a certain way to salute, there's a certain way to talk, but yet, strategically, in different circumstances, the way the things you learn play out a little bit differently. And so trying to figure out which is the right approach for these issues at this location.
Exactly right. And in some cases, people have solved problems that they didn't recognize they solved because of the way that they did an improvement. And we have to make sure that as we select those, that we don't cause more problems than we solve by our standardization process. So you've got the entirety of what we're trying to do and why we're being careful about it.
Yeah.
So that we don't break things that shouldn't be broken.
Oh, well, I mean, I love the fact that you're trying to do this kind of excavation to really understand why you are where you are. But man, that's fantastic. So where do we go from here? Like, if I'm a military person and I'm hearing you talk right now, what does this mean for me right now or in the short-term future?
Yeah. So if you're a beneficiary, so if you're a service member, a sailor, or an airman here in Pensacola, or you're a family member here, all of this should be invisible to you. The goal of all of this is that you don't see it, except over time, things are better for you. Things get standardized such that when you move from place to place or even unit to unit on the same installation, it's making more sense to you. And then over time, it may be that some of the services change and maybe that whether we have military providers in the installation or civilian providers inside the installation, whether all services are still done on the installation or partner with local hospitals or physicians' offices. Some of that will change over time, always though with the idea that the quality of care is steadily improving. The safety and the way that we deliver that care is steadily improving, and we maintain good access to that care. That's what you should see.
Well, it sounds like really, wonderful work to be doing, very challenging, difficult, and, sort of uphill work, I imagine, in a lot of cases, for all the right reasons. Lieutenant General Ron Place, is there anything else that I haven't asked you that you want to make sure to communicate to our listening audience?
Well, I just want to make sure that your audience understands just how much we respect the men and women who have volunteered to be part of our United States military, and how we're humbled and privileged to be able to provide healthcare for them. And because of that, all of this, whether active or family member, whether retired or retired family member, we want to make sure this system, in addition to providing all that goodness and quality and safety, that the experiences that they have continue to improve. And ultimately, it's worth the cost of their service now and in the future. And if it meets that goal, then we've gotten a good place.
Wow, very good. Lieutenant General Ron Place, he is the Director of the Defense Health Agency. General, thank you so much for the time. Thank you for what you're doing to serve our country and to serve our men and women, both in uniform now and their retirees and their families. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. It's truly my pleasure. Thanks for having me.